Welcome to the Rage Podcast. We hope that you find this week's message encouraging.
Hey guys, how's everyone doing? Getting back into the swing of things with school and sports and everything? Or are you still missing summer? You guys like, I want summer back. Well, at the beginning of the summer, I started working at a Mexican restaurant, and I really like it. Like, it's good to make money, and I've learned how to fry chips and make salsa and roll a burrito. And even when the burrito has steak and shrimp and beef and refried beans and Mexican rice and lettuce and sour cream and jalapenos and black olives all inside, it's pretty crazy. Sometimes it completely like breaks open and it's just a burrito blowout and we have to go get a new tortilla and the customer's crying and it's not a good deal. But sometimes it's just like a little hole, and I think if I roll the burrito like fast enough and I cover it with the foil, they won't notice and then we'll be good. So most of the time I can get away with it. But last week a lady came up to the register and she's like, I opened my burrito and there's a hole in it. And I'm like, lady, I opened my Christmas presents and there's no Italian Greyhound puppy, but I'm not complaining, so please find a way to deal with it. But it's been fun. I've enjoyed working there, but something I've noticed while I've been there is that most of my coworkers are not Christians. And we often find ourselves in situations like that, don't we, where we are one of the few Christians, whether it's on a sports team or in a group, a club, maybe a classroom, or even our own family. We could even be the only Christian. So one time, I was working, and my coworkers were all talking about, you know, what they did Friday night, you know, their past experiences with their boyfriends or girlfriends, and who got drunk, who smoked what. And so obviously, I'm not really part of this conversation, but somebody asked me if I'd ever been to a nightclub. And someone else asked me if I had a boyfriend, and someone else asked me if I was happy that I was over 18 because it meant that I could go buy cigarettes. And all these things seem totally normal to them because we live in a society that's very big on pleasure, don't we? Our culture is very much do it up, party, live your life, YOLO, and don't really care about the consequences. But when they asked me these things, and I had a chance to say no to these things that seemed normal to them, it gave me the opportunity to say, I'm a Christian, and my faith is really important to me. Now, it's not like the movies where a light shines down from heaven and everybody gets saved right there, but it gives me a chance to stick my neck out for the guy who saved my neck. Now, it might be kind of uncomfortable, and people kind of look at me weird and maybe not really know how to respond. Yeah, but it's not about me. So the title of my message today is, Will You Stand for Christ Even When It's Not Popular? So sometimes we as Christians are seen as oddballs or lunatics or Jesus freaks. And we might think it's a big deal that the popular girls or guys at school might not think that we're the latest greatest because we act different or we talk differently or we dress differently or whatever it may be. But we need to make a choice. Are we going to stick up for our Savior or just shrug our shoulders and do what the world wants us to do? If you guys could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 10:33, just to give you some of the context of this verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples, not talking to the Pharisees, not talking to people he just met. He's talking to his disciples. He's giving them their mission, sending them out. So we are Jesus' disciples, right? We're his followers. So he says, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me or denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. So let's pray. God, I pray that your will be done here tonight, God. Jesus, I just pray your anointing over everyone in this room. I pray that our hearts would be soft and our minds would be sharp just to hear what it is that you have for us, God. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are a cause, that you died for us and you stood for us even when it wasn't popular. So God, I pray that we would have the courage to do the same. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your how you strengthen us that we can stand for you, God. And I pray that we would just have the courage to carry out the Great Commission and make disciples of all nations, God. So I pray that your will be done here tonight. And I thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you are doing, and everything that you're going to do. In your name I pray. Amen. So even though I'm now seen as different and maybe even crazy, people do tend to respect you saying you're not going to do something because of your religious beliefs. Like, they might look at you kind of different, but it's like Pastor Carl has said, people in high school and college, their hearts are still soft. They're more open-minded. So even though I might say something like, because I've said this to my coworkers, I don't think getting drunk is the wisest decision because you can make a mistake that you regret for the rest of your life, or you could hurt somebody, or I think that a relationship should have purpose and meaning and not just hooking up with someone for a month. People look at me different. They might roll their eyes or disagree, but I'm probably not going to be stoned in the streets for my faith like the apostles were. It doesn't mean it's always easy, though, does it? Because we're human, and we want to be liked, and we want to be accepted by other people. We fear rejection. And so this instinct just tells us to blend in with the crowd, not to stand out, not to make a big deal of anything. But honestly, we could take this chance to stand for Jesus and be different. Because what does Matthew 10:33 look like? We can't just go through our lives ignoring Jesus or only acknowledging him once a week and then get to heaven and expect Jesus to acknowledge us. We have to live a life that acknowledges Jesus before others if we want him to acknowledge us before his Father and our Father in heaven. So I want to tell you guys about a guy named Simon Peter. So Peter was one of Jesus' closest disciples. He was with Jesus for the 3.5 years of his ministry. He and Jesus were together all the time. Peter saw Jesus perform miracles, raise people from the dead. He walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus. He even fought with Jesus sometimes because, honestly, Peter was human and he had a big mouth. And sometimes Jesus would say how it was going to go, but Peter would actually be like, well, I want to run this show. But we do that sometimes, don't we? God lays out guidelines, or we pray, and God gives us the answer, and we say, actually, God, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do it my way. But even though we do that, and even though Peter did that, Jesus didn't give up on Peter. And even though the one time when Peter was walking on the water, and if he just kept his eyes on Jesus, he could stay above the waves, but he looked to the wind and the waves and all the distractions around him, and he let it take his attention off of Jesus, and then he started to sink. Whenever we take our eyes off of Jesus, we're going to start to sink. But when he was falling, he called out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down, grabbed him, and pulled him up. Jesus did not give up on Peter. And Peter thought he wasn't going to give up on Jesus, but that was more talk, and he wasn't ready to walk that walk. So Peter told Jesus, I will follow you even to the death. But when it came down to it, and Jesus was betrayed and being flogged and beaten and carried off to be crucified for crimes he didn't even commit, the perfect Son of God who'd never done anything wrong, where was Peter? Peter was too busy telling people that he didn't even know Jesus because he was just scared of what other people would think of him. 3 times he told people that he didn't know Jesus. He denied him. Hey, aren't you that guy who hangs out with that Jesus dude? No, man, you got me mixed up with someone else. That's not me. I don't even know him. I have never even met him before. 3 times. The Bible says a young girl asked him if he'd been with Jesus, and Peter got so upset he started swearing at her. He's cussing her out because he's so afraid of what other people would think of him. He's so scared of his reputation being muddied. But how often are we like Peter? We just want to care about what other people would think about us. We care about our reputation or how we look in front of other people instead of standing up for Jesus, who's the only eternal thing. If you guys follow along with whatever this world says is cool or popular, you're going to have to change every other day because trends come and go. They are not permanent. They will just pass away. They're fun while they come, you know, one moment everybody's gliding around on Heely shoes, and a couple years later, people just, they move on to the next thing that's going to make money or look cool or be hip, and it's not steady. It's not going to be strong like Jesus is going to be. So the only thing that stands firm is God. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's a promise that God makes to us. So when Peter realized that he gave up on the only thing that stands firm forever, the Bible says he went outside and he wept bitterly. This isn't just the kind of crying that you do when your brother eats the last of the Oreos or your favorite show is not on Netflix anymore. This is bitter weeping, pure remorse, because Peter, a grown man, realized that he had the chance to stand for Jesus when it wasn't popular, but he chickened out. But Jesus didn't give up on Peter. After he was raised from the dead, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" three times, each time to make up for one of the times that Peter denied him. And Peter went on to become a martyr for the church. He did follow Jesus to the death because Jesus gave him that second chance. God gives second chances, and third, and fourth, and fifth chances. And I experienced this personally a few years ago. I entered a writing contest, and we had to write a paper about a book. And the book I chose was called She Said Yes. It is the true story of Cassie Bernal. Cassie was a teen girl growing up in the 90s who got into some trouble with her friends. She was experimenting with black magic and Wiccan and listening to really dark satanic music. And it was really just starting to change her personality from a sweet girl to a rude rebel. So if you guys think that the music you listen to or the TV and the movies that you watch doesn't change your personality, it really does. Music and media is powerful. It can be used in a positive way and lead us into the presence of God like we see in worship every week, or it can drag us down. Garbage in, garbage out. And Cassie was dealing with some garbage. But her parents found out, they intervened, but the person who really changed Cassie's heart was Jesus. She completely fell totally in love with Jesus. So much so that she was willing to die for him. And she did. On April 20th, 1999, some of Cassie's classmates started setting off bombs and shooting people in Columbine High School. And according to an eyewitness, Cassie was crouched under a desk hiding, but these teen terrorists found her. They shoved a gun to her head, and they asked her, "Do you believe in God?" Can you guess her answer? Can you guess your answer? We all want to believe that we'd be the hero, and we'd say yes, and we'd stand for Jesus, but there's so many opportunities on a daily basis that we just let pass by, and we don't say yes to. I was so happy to be writing this paper. I loved this book that told the true story of a girl who stood for Jesus no matter what. I read this book over and over. But when I came to talk to my teacher about it, she told me that my paper didn't really have a good chance of doing well in the contest because it was so religious. I loved this book. But when it came down to it, I wanted to do well in the contest. So I gave it up. And I wrote about a different book. And it was a fine book, but it wasn't the Cassie book. And it actually went on to be picked as a finalist out of tens and thousands of papers. So, hey, I got what I wanted, right? I did well in the contest. But I gave up on that Cassie book. If others can lay down their lives, can we lay down our pride? If Cassie can stick up for Jesus with a gun shoved to her head, why can't I stick up for him by submitting that paper to a panel of secular judges when I wasn't even going to be there? We're not supposed to beat ourselves up for our past mistakes, but I wish I would have taken a stand like Cassie. So what are your "I wish I would have"s? I want to tell you guys about a guy named Jonah. So Jonah was a prophet. Cue VeggieTales music. Such a good movie. But God asked him to speak to the people of Nineveh, which is the capital city of Syria. And Jonah got so scared, he ran away. He literally packed his bags, got on a ship, and started sailing away. But I guess Jonah didn't know that God can walk on water, so Jonah was found out. He was caught in his escape. He was thrown overboard this ship, but he was swallowed by this massive fish that God sent so that he wouldn't drown. Have you guys ever like read a book or been to a museum and seen some of the things that used to live on this planet? It's pretty crazy. Like, we're talking total like megalodon, giant sharks, total Jurassic Park sort of things. Like the bones and the teeth that they found, the teeth, like, it's crazy. And so something huge swallowed Jonah, and he's inside its stomach for 3 days. And finally, it pukes him up on a beach. Can you imagine what he must have looked like and smelled like after that? Probably me when I get out of bed in the morning. I'm like, oh, I feel like I got puked up by a fish. But he picks himself up. He goes to Nineveh. He takes the second chance to stand for God when it's not popular. And this is a total paganistic city full of idols, full of sin. This is not a popular place to be preaching repentance. Think like Las Vegas or even New York City, just somewhere where lots of people, but they're not worshiping God. But Jonah stands for God when it's not popular, and thousands of people, the entire city, turns and repents to God. So what if you took that stand and your entire school got saved? You know, I mentioned my coworkers earlier, and it's easy to get all judgmental and holier than thou about it, you know, like, oh, they're out partying and we're over here sitting in church. But it's not us against them. They're broken people. Everybody is going through something that we don't know anything about. And it all starts with a conversation. As they start to talk to people more, they start to open up more. One person told me that they recently had to put their dog to sleep. Another told me their parents went through a really messy divorce. Another, because I asked about his family, told me that he has 2 siblings, but he would have had 3, except one of them was stillborn. Another guy always just seemed to be high, and it kind of became a joke. You know, people laughed about it, and it just kind of was the way things were. You know, he's a druggie, that's how it is. But I talked to him about his family, and it turns out both of his parents are heavy smokers too. It's not us against them. Love God, love people. Jesus said, the world will know you are my disciples by your love. Not your hatred, not your judgment, not the cool clothes you wear or the car you drive, by your love for one another.
Thanks for joining us for our podcast today. If you'd like more info on us, you can find us on the web at www.ragestudentmin.com or follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ragestudentministries.